Thursday, August 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, an American woman is killed in London, but authorities blame the death on the assailant's mental illness, not terrorism. Another Chinese human rights lawyer is convicted of subversion.
Well, I think that it is part and parcel of a worsening of the human rights situation in China.
And country music star George Strait is honored as the top country artist of all time. It's all ahead. On Thursday, London police said they'd found no evidence of radicalization to suggest terrorism after a Somali man stabbed a woman to death and wounded five other people in central London. I'm joined now by VOA Europe correspondent Luis Ramirez, who's in the British capital. Luis, what is known so far about this incident?
Well, the police have come out with information, giving us more information on this 19-year-old suspect. We know that he is a Norwegian national of Somali origin. The police held this man overnight, and he was hospitalized. He was also wounded in the incident, and he has been discharged from the hospital. In the course of questioning, in the course of the investigation, they determined that there was nothing pointing to terrorism, which, of course, makes people breathe a great deal easier. However, the incident does highlight just how nervous this city is about a terrorist attack. In fact, the Metropolitan Police spokesman and the chief have said that it's a matter of time, not if or when, but when attack can happen in this city.
I believe British police, they're putting extra police on the streets. I don't know if it's to do with this attack, but I think there have been plans beforehand to do that.
That's correct. In fact, just hours before the attack happened, it happened late Wednesday, hours before the attack happened, police announced that they have plans to deploy 600 additional armed police to the streets of London. This is, of course, a huge departure. This is a city, this is a country where police have traditionally not been armed in general, but that scenario is changing. In fact, in the morning of Thursday after this attack, more police were visible carrying weapons. And that is, of course, a shock to people in the city.
Now, this happened in Russell Square, which is near the British Museum. It's also near the University of London. So there are a number of tourists around there. And what is known about the nationality of the victim, of the woman who died?
Well, early reports are that she was an American citizen. That has yet to be confirmed by the State Department or by the American Embassy. She's described as being in her 60s. The other victims, those who were wounded in this attack, were British, Israeli, and Australian. This is an area that is frequented by foreigners, both students and tourists. It's near the British Museum. It also has some symbolic significance because Russell Square was one of the areas that was hit in the terrorist attacks of 2005.
And also, this occurred not that long after recent terrorist incidents in Paris and in Brussels to other European cities. So I guess you could say there's heightened alert throughout the continent.
Absolutely. It was only just days ago that we had the church attack in France, and before that, the truck attack in Nice. And so, and of course, nobody can forget the attacks in Brussels earlier in the year, and then before that in Paris. And so, and then not to mention the incidents that have also been seen in Germany. And so, people in London have been quite vigilant. In fact, the newspapers on Wednesday, when the police announced the additional deployment of armed police to London streets, the newspapers were full of op-eds talking about the need for public vigilance, the new era of this anti-terrorism posture that the city and the country is having to take.
All right. Thanks very much. That's VOA Europe correspondent Luis Ramirez. Thanks a lot, Luis.
Thank you, Sarah.
Joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. So, Andrew, what's trending?
Well, that London story is trending. We actually saw after that attack, hashtag pray for London, and a lot of concern that it was part of a broader attack or an ISIS-inspired attack As Luis just explained, that that doesn't seem to be the case. But in the initial moments, especially on social media, these things can spread very quickly. So there was a lot of that concern. And now we're seeing social media trying to catch up and trying to explain, no, this doesn't appear to be a terrorist attack. There's a lot of questions, though, about that term terrorist attack. People saying, well, even though it wasn't inspired by ISIS, this could still be considered a terrorist attack, or could it still be considered a terrorist attack? So there's a lot of debate on social media about that. Closer to home, right here in the Washington, D.C. area, word yesterday that a Metro Transit police officer was arrested for trying to support ISIS and apparently trying to send them money. It's the first U.S. law enforcement officer that's been arrested trying to support ISIS or lend material support to ISIS. So there's a lot of fear and concern, especially here in the D.C. region, about that. Now, officials were very quick to point out that there was no threat to the D.C. Metro Rail system, that this had been under investigation for about 6 years, and they had been tracking him very closely undercover. But that's obviously a top concern for many here, and even around the United States, of the transit systems and the potential for those to be attacked. So a lot of concern from that, even though they've assured people, authorities have assured people, there's still that lingering fear. And we'll end on a positive note after some bad news. Good news for President Obama. He is 55 years old today. August 4th is his birthday. So happy birthday to President Obama. Social media sharing lots of videos and pictures and memes of their favorite moments. You know, him kind of putting the sunglasses on, walking, looking very cool. So a lot of birthday joy and love for President Obama from social media.
Okay, well, thanks, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top stories trending. Polls show Hillary Clinton is gaining ground in U.S. battleground states against her Republican challenger, Donald Trump. The Taliban attack foreigners in Afghanistan. Turkey issues an arrest warrant against a U.S.-based cleric. And President Obama will discuss the ousting of Islamic State from Libya. Those stories and more are on the VOANews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists writing in the Journal of Geophysical Research Planet have found that the thin atmosphere of Io, one of Jupiter's major moons, freezes, collapses, and turns into surface frost every time it's eclipsed by its giant planet. The researchers found that once sunlight returns, its atmosphere then reforms through a process known as sublimation. That's when material that's frozen solid quickly changes into gas without first turning into a liquid. The researchers noticed that when temperatures drop from minus 113 to minus 132 degrees Celsius, its atmosphere begins to deflate. As a result of tremendous volcanic activity, it has been determined that a majority of Io's atmosphere is made up of volcanic gases, mostly sulfur dioxide. Jupiter eclipses Io for 2 hours of its day every day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, George Strait is named the best country music artist of all time. The UN Security Council met late Wednesday behind closed doors at the urging of the United States, South Korea, and Japan over North Korea's latest missile tests, one of which extended within the waters of Japan's exclusive economic zone, about 250 kilometers from its northern coast. U.S. UN Ambassador Samantha Power called on the 15-member council to condemn Pyongyang.
I just want to stress the necessity of a strong and swift response from the Security Council, and a reminder that this missile landed incredibly closely to Japan, and this program and its continued advancement poses a threat that goes well beyond any particular country.
After the council meeting, Power said there appeared to be strong support for a draft council statement of condemnation. After Wednesday's meeting, Japan's ambassador, Koro Besho, told reporters what his message was.
This is a totally unacceptable action on the part of DPRK. The missile launched landed within the Japan's exclusive economic zone. There was no warning whatsoever. We see it as a grave violation of certainly the resolutions of the Security Council that have been passed before, but it is certainly a major, major problem for the security and safety of our region.
Korea Society Senior Policy Director Stephen Norper tells International Edition's Victor Beatty the North had warned a physical response to the recent deployment of a U.S. anti-missile system that has also been criticized by China.
North Korea is trying to express its displeasure over the THAAD deployment, the Terminal High Area Altitude Defense System, the missile system, which also has raised the ire of China. And so launching these missiles like this, and this Nodong being one of the longer range that it's done of the medium range missiles, has stoked concern.
The U.S. is trying to get Russia and China to cooperate. The White House spokesman said it's important that the international community remain united on this. Is it?
Well, it certainly is important to try to strike at unanimity, and certainly of the six powers, meaning Russia, China, the United States, South Korea, and North Korea, dealing with these issues, you know, trying to get the five entities coordinated around North Korea is very important. But the fact of the matter is that the prospect of terminal high area altitude defense deployment is raised a lot of concern. And so China and Russia don't like the idea of enhancements in terms of U.S. capabilities in the region, the U.S. working with South Korea. And so both China and Russia have voiced complaint, and that probably is more of a near-term concern for them that will outweigh any condemnation of North Korea's latest provocation.
Well, any possible withdrawal of the THAAD system before it's even deployed would be seen as a sign of weakness, would it not? And don't these tests prove that THAAD is needed now more than ever?
Well, that's the argument of the United States, and that's certainly the argument of the South Korean defense community and the South Korean leadership. North Korea has damaged the situation for its ally China and its former supporter Russia in the sense that it draws U.S. capabilities closer. And so that's really, you know, in fact, what China and Russia need to address with North Korea is that they're causing a ratcheting up of tensions that only leads to coordination between the United States and its allies to try to counter those provocations.
The current U.S. policy doesn't seem to be very effective. Is it time for a reset of some sort?
Oh, I think a lot of people would like to see more done. Certainly there has been suggestion that we need to get North Korea back to the negotiating table, certainly in light of the fact that they are ratcheting up tensions with a series of missile tests. The concern is that there could be a nuclear or long-range missile test in the offing, especially with the coming of the U.S. presidential election, where they would try to seek attention or create controversy. And we have to remember that next year is a presidential election in South Korea as well.
That's Korea Society Senior Policy Director Stephen Norper. A Chinese court Thursday sentenced human rights lawyer Zhou Shifeng to 7 years in prison for subversion. The 52-year-old lawyer has been involved in a number of prominent cases. The conviction and sentencing follow other sentences this week for activists Hu Shigeng and Jia Yanmin. Earlier this week, Zhou's colleague Wang Yu was supposedly released on bail following her appearance on a video in which she renounced her prior legal work and said foreign forces were attempting to undermine the Chinese government. Eva Pills teaches human rights at King's College London and has met both Zhou and Wang. I asked for her reaction to this latest conviction and sentencing of a prominent Chinese human rights lawyer.
Well, I think that it is part and parcel of a worsening of the human rights situation in China, and in particular of the vilification of advocates, of lawyers, legal assistants, and so on, who try to defend human rights in China. And it is even within this sort of wider trend, of course, still very bad news. One of the ways in which the government, as I see it, has stepped up its persecution of human rights lawyers is by charging them with convicting them of more serious crimes. And so these convictions certainly is a sign of that. But I think that really also beyond that, we also need to look at the wider persecution of human rights lawyers. And certainly I would also say that what happened, for instance, to Wang Yu, her being put in front of a television camera and made to sort of confess in quotation marks is part of this persecution.
You have met, I believe, both of these lawyers. What did they indicate to you about their human rights concerns?
I think there are human rights concerns at many levels. There are many human rights issues in China. Perhaps you would expect that. In such a large and developing country, criminal justice, forced evictions, to name just two kinds of case. In addition to that, there is also the problem that the party state regards human rights defense as such, advocacy, as increasingly as subversive. And so, unfortunately, their own persecution, the persecution of their professional colleagues, has become itself a major human rights issue.
Zhou's firm was involved in a number of high-profile cases, including the tainted baby milk scandal back in 2008. Certainly, I guess you could say some of his work embarrassed or highlighted some of the problems within China.
Well, certainly, if you look at the cases that have been used as a basis for these criminal convictions, then you can see that, yes, there have been several high-profile cases, criminal prosecutions and so on amongst them. What they also highlight, I think, is really that lawyers have to go beyond what you would ordinarily expect a professional lawyer to do in order to seek justice for their clients. For instance, in criminal justice cases, criminal defense lawyers often have to confront the problem that they're not allowed to see their client, or they may not be allowed to access the case files. So what can they do? One of the things that Zhou Shufeng and his colleagues did was to organize small, peaceful demonstrations, for instance, outside court buildings, to demand access to their clients, to their case, to the case files, etc. That was sort of one of the things that the government sort of targeted, that the government made the basis for these criminal convictions.
Eva Pills of King's College London. This is VOA.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
Who do you think is the top country artist of all time? Merle Haggard, Charlie Pride, Willie Nelson? Well, according to Billboard magazine, it's the iconic George Strait, also affectionately known in country as King George. Nikki Strong of VOA Music shares how this country legend has reigned supreme. Well, Nikki, this is a huge honor. So what criteria did Billboard use to determine who would be the greatest?
It was basically a numbers game. For the first time, Billboard compiled its country charts over the past six decades, going back to 1958. So they looked at the genre's top artists, songs, and albums and how they fared. So they were assigned values on how they were ranked on the charts, the length of the time in that position, etc. And King George, as we lovingly refer to him, had recorded 44 number one hits on the Hot Country Songs chart. plus an unprecedented 26 number one top country albums, from 1984's Right from Wrong to 2015's Cold Beer Conversation. So King George has ruled the Billboard charts like no other.
George Strait is also honoring Jim Lauderdale at the Americana Music Awards September 21st.
Yeah, he is. Jim Lauderdale is one of Americana and country music's most accomplished songwriters, and he's being honored for his lifelong contributions to Americana music. And George Strait, in particular, has recorded over a dozen of Lauderdale's songs, including Twang and Where the Sidewalk Ends. So basically, one legend will be honoring another.
In addition to King George, who rounds out the top five?
Okay, so number five is Conway Twitty. Number four is Alabama.
Oh.
Number three is Willie Nelson.
Uh-huh.
And number two, not surprisingly, is Merle Haggard.
Billboard also lists the biggest country album of all time and the biggest country song as well.
Yeah, so the top country album is one of my favorites. It's Shania Twain's Come On Over. Yay, Shania! And the top country song is Florida Georgia Line with Cruz. Now, this is funny because the song only came out in 2012.
Yeah.
So it really speaks to technology and the impact that digital sales has had on the charts.
You can also hear music from all of these great artists on Country Hits with Nikki Strong on VOA 1. Feel free to share your thoughts as well. You can reach Nikki on social media at VOA underscore music on Twitter and VOA Music on Facebook. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
You're very welcome.
Cold beer, conversations, just a couple old boys, a little time well wasted. Trying to figure out life, trying to figure out girls, trying to find our place in this crazy old world. A little truth.
That is the music of George Strait. But that's our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks very much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Last year was the hottest year on record. This is partly due to an exceptionally strong El Niño and partly because of global warming resulting from human activity. El Niño departed in early June, but the heat continues, and the resulting drought has left nearly 100 million people around the globe facing a bleak and hungry future. Some of the hardest hit regions are in southern Africa. Around 18 million people there are expected to suffer crisis food insecurity, meaning a crisis has resulted in hunger and diminished nutrition. This and other impacts on livestock, water access, and treatment for those living with HIV will last well into 2017. This drought is having a devastating impact on the Southern Africa region, and we know things could get even worse, said Rebecca Sutton of Oxfam, an international confederation of charitable organizations that work toward ending global poverty. People are struggling now. They have watched their crops wither and their animals starve to death. Even in the best-case scenario, the next major harvest is not expected until early next year. The Southern Africa Development Community has launched an emergency appeal for $2.4 billion to help those most severely hit by the drought and protect development gains. The Regional Interagency Standing Committee has released an action plan targeted at the seven most affected countries: Angola, Lesotho, Madagascar, Malawi, Mozambique, Swaziland, and Zimbabwe, which requires $1.2 billion in funding. In response, the United States announced an additional $127 million to this effort, bringing the total the United States has provided to the region to over $300 million in humanitarian aid. This includes emergency food assistance, nutrition and health support, access to safe drinking water, and seeds. The funding will be delivered through the United Nations and our NGO partners. Based on early warning and careful tracking of the progression of El Niño, the United States mobilized an integrated response earlier this year to ensure El Niño's impacts do not negate progress we've already made in reducing hunger and poverty. We have also adjusted development investments to lessen the drought's impact, speed recovery, and to help build resilience in Southern Africa. The United States applauds the many fellow donors who have contributed to the Southern Africa drought response and encourages others to join this international effort. Mobilizing a robust and coordinated global response will be critical to protect the region's gains against chronic hunger and poverty and to ensure early recovery.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.